We will receive that oil.
Amen.
To heal our members.
Amen.
My God, heal our backside.
Amen.
And make it your backside, my God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Heal us, O God. We receive your healing.
Amen.
Lord, we bring our memories and we soak it.
Amen.
In your oil and the water. We receive a healing.
Amen.
We receive a deliverance, my God. That our future shall be greater.
Amen.
That which is behind.
Amen.
Lord, we bring all the failures, all the missed opportunities. Lord, and we bring it and we say, Lord, let's be soaked in the oil and the wine.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Paul said, leaving the things behind.
Yes.
We want to move ahead, Lord God. We want to set our focus on this glory of Emmanuel. Blessed be your name, Lord. God in mind. Lord, your tabernacle comes into my mind, into my emotion, my God. Bringing us into I am. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I just had a word for Brother Boy. Can I give you the word ahead? I had a word for you.
Oh, yes?
I think you are just on your way back to Nigeria. Amen! I had a flash. And I think you are coming right back. You know what?
The Lord only knows.
In fact, that is exactly the Jew and the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I just told them. I told the president, you know, I just want 30 minutes to just run through something. Amen. I want to talk about breaking the veil over the mind. You know, breaking through. I want to see if I can organize it in a little form of bullet. You know, something that we can, something that you can keep before you, and you know, 1 week from now you can check and see if you are still in line. Amen. Because there has to be a practicality. There has to be a rubber meets the road, as you said. You know, rubber meets the road means experience. Amen. When you hear the news, when things come, they come to sweep you up. When you go to work and you're all doing engineering drawing or you're looking at patients or something, you know, you need to put that aside and come back to focus. Amen. So that's the challenge. So I just want to take a few bullets, 1, 2, 3, 4, something like that. You know, on breaking the veil of the mind. You know, when we talk about veil, I hope you're not thinking of the curtain, because there's nothing there. There are coverings over the mind. And, you know, you see, the soul is so layered, there are several depths. We're still dealing with foundations to really go into, you know, I mean, you are looking at depths of the conscience, depths of the mind. We're not even talking about that. But, when you speak about the mind, you really want to concern yourself with the senses in the mind. You know, there are senses, there are sensors in the mind. You know, which is an ability. You know, now we use the word capacity. That means there is something that God has built in me that can enable me to relate with my environment. That is, I can see something, see an image. And it registers in me, I've seen an image, and then I can hear a sound, and again, it's information, you know. I can sense something, you know, through that capacity, and then I also see something. Then I can taste, again, and then I can touch. So these five areas, you know, as it talks about lifestyle, those are the things that make your lifestyle. Those are the things that make my lifestyle. You know, the things I see, the things I hear, the things I taste and touch. And right now, there's what I call, I was telling the young people, by the way, we had a fantastic thing. So these young people who were here yesterday, they moved into our house, our room, end of February, and they had a retreat. It was a blast. I mean, it was fantastic. You know, and what I was telling them, I said, look, There is what I call the lifestyle of hoarder. It's a pleasure-seeking lifestyle. And it has been popularized by this little round box. Okay, this has popularized the hoarder lifestyle. We're looking for pleasure. Multimedia. Multimedia, you know, in sound, vision, touch, you know, the things you are doing. And the whole world is our life, because it's something, but it's actually a distraction. And so there is a modern lifestyle which is all about pleasure. You know, what can give me pleasure? Now, there are so many chats, WhatsApp, Viber, chatting, talking stories. And how are you going to have, you have 200 Viber messages. How are you going to handle that? The next day you have 500. You know, so how, you know, and you have to go through all that, read their email, do this, and see this or that, you know. So it's a information overload, you know. But even as though this is going on, I just want you to think. There's a scripture in Psalm, I don't know which one. It says, "He that made the eye, does he not see?" All right, I don't know if somebody can find it. He said, "He that made the ears, does he not hear?" I think it's Psalm 79 or something, somewhere. You know, say, "He that created the eye, does he not see? He that created the ear, does he see here?" You know, and I'm going to show 94. Please notice, it's critical for you. Make sure you know that scripture, Psalm 94. You know, because we're talking about the veil. So we're looking at two parallels: senses in the natural, physical, that you are seeing, these ones you are seeing, and then senses also in the spirit. The two of work together. And this is, I was saying something that may be revolutionary, as it were. I said, you do not need the physical body senses to function. God, that's not the way. God, those ones are lower senses. The real senses are the ones in the spirit. But those are the ones we are not using. And that is the change in the lifestyle. If you are flowing, you understand? So, we are saying, shut down one and resurrect the other one. And that is the conversion of the soul. Okay, so how do I shut down my physical senses? And how do I resurrect this one and are quenched? You understand? So that is my ability to shut down the natural and, as it were, arouse or reawake. You know, the word on Friday was what? Awake, awake, O Zion, put on that beautiful garment. So how do I awake my ability to hear? Because, think about it. These natural things, senses are working on natural physics. Okay? Laws of sound, waves, light, you know. But see, those are very low realm of operation. Alright? If I put on this now, there are sounds, voices, data that I will get. But the scripture also is telling you that there is even a higher dimension where you also have voice, data, images. You understand? And each one of them is as abundant. That means God can give you an overload of images. Yes. God can give you an overload of voices. God can give you an overload of, you know. So just like you have, now Nigeria is going digital. When is it? The next few months, we are going to go digital. Everything in television is going digital. All right? But already, there are some countries that have already gone digital. You understand? Okay? But if man is going to a place where you have unlimited number of radio stations, unlimited number of television stations, how about Radio Zion? You understand? Radio Zion is unlimited. Alright? Vision in data that I can plug into. But the thing is, my hearing, my ability to hear God, my ability to see. Alright? He says, in the last days, I will pour out my word, spirit upon what? All flesh. And all young men, old women, young, every different, you know, will do what? They will see vision. They will dream dreams. Amen. In other words, if he was talking about this ladder, you know, the tabernacle being a step, you know, of climbing back to that realm of life. There's a place in the spirit, brethren, where the soul is supposed to be. Right now, our soul is in captive. We are imprisoned by the body, by the things in the, you know, natural circumstances. You know, and God wants to take us up. So I just want to go through some of those steps that can help us. So let's take some background scriptures. The first background scripture is Revelation 7. Revelation 7. This is just to help, because there are different categories here. So there are some who are just coming, they are learning the ropes in the world. Others have heard this. But just something to walk through. Revelation 7, 1. I talk about the sealing upon the forehead. Alright? It says that at the four corners of the earth, there were angels waiting to bring destruction. And it says, hold on until we seal the servants of our God. Where? In the mind. In the mind. The forehead, the mind. The helmet of salvation. That helmet is not a natural helmet, it's a spiritual seal upon the mind. And the scripture that addresses it is in Romans 6. What does it say? Reckon yourselves. To be what?
Dead.
And to be what? To be alive. That resurrection. So there is a mindset of resurrection.
Amen.
Do you have it? What's your mindset? Is it a mindset of resurrection? There's a mindset of resurrection, and there's a seal. So we were just trying to look at that seal, the sealing, breaking the veil, and that brings us into the goodness of God. Now let's look at the other scripture. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3. Is there a basic scripture? These are basic scriptures that you need to. Second Corinthians 3. Verse 13 says, 2 Corinthians 3 says, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly to the end of that which was being abolished. Verse 14, please note it. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. Which veil is done away? But even until this day, when Moses is raised, the veil is upon your mind. Amen. Mm-hmm. And then it goes to say that when you shall turn to the Lord, the veil will be removed. So he's saying there is a veil. And brethren, I want to respectfully just remind us that the change in lifestyle that we're being told cannot be achieved by resolution. You say, amen, from this meeting, amen, I'm going to change my lifestyle. It doesn't work that way. You see, it's not a question of decision. From today, I will change my lifestyle. In fact, it's much like what he is speaking about, presumption. It's presumptuous to think that by deciding that I will change, then I will change. No. Because I'm going to show there are forces that whose life and eternity depend on you are not changing. I don't know if you understand. There are forces whose their spirit, their life, is depending upon the fact that you are not going to change. So it's much more than deciding that I'm going to change. No, we must dislodge that spirit. I need an energy in me to dislodge those spirits. So it's life for life. Amen. And the Bible says that the kingdom of God suffers violence and what? Men of violence take it by force. So it's not a casual thing. It's not, there's nothing casual about it. It has to deal with a battle, a spiritual warfare. We have to give in something. So You know, so I just want to leave that. You can look at it later on. But he's telling us that there is a covering over the mind, over the senses. You know, and of course, we know the other scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm taking it away from you, that says that the God of this world has done what?
Blinded
the hearts of them that do not believe. There's a blinding, there's a covering. You know, and this covering is an active covering over the mind. Alright? So if again, it's basic. The soul has four natures. The soul has four natures, and it is done on purpose. The soul has four natures. The mind has four natures. So, that altar that he talked about, there are several layers to it. So you have the mind, you have the emotion, you have the will, and you have the desire. That's one level. The second level is that this altar now becomes the mind. And at this level, there are also four dimensions. Okay, you have wisdom, you have knowledge, you have understanding, and you have the conscience. That's another level. Alright, and even with this level, then you all have another level of the senses, also operating in the dimension of the mind. So there are different layers going up. You know, but the purpose of all that is that he's saying that there is a covering over my sin, my ability to sin in the spirit. There is a covering over it. Okay, and he said that there is something that is active that is covering my mind so that I do not see. Alright? Now, Paul had to pray that the eyes of our understanding might be enlightened. Alright? And he says that it is the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ that shines in the midst of the darkness to break open the covering. So, there is a power. That light has to shine. Okay? Now, another scripture that may illuminate that is, on the fourth day of creation, what happened? He said he created the moon and the stars. Now, he said that the moon and the stars, that they give light upon the earth. They enlighten the earth. Okay, and of course, they bring a judgment. So these are some basic scriptures that help us to look inward. I want to show something. Talking about this change in the lifestyle. So let's see one example of this change in the lifestyle. 2 Kings chapter 6. So there's a change that has to happen to me. 2 Kings chapter 6. Kings 6, Second Kings chapter 6 is the story of a man called Elisha, and his servant. Okay. Verse 15. He said, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Now, he is looking with his physical eyes. Alright? He's looking with his physical eyes, and he wakes up and sees the host all over the mountain. Verse 16. It's much the word of God to you and to me. You know, it says, and he answered them, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. But see, that didn't solve the man's problem, because he was seeing with his physical eyes. And you know, right now, in a very safe situation, you are seeing things physically, you know. You are looking at the physical sickness, physical lack, physical this. You have seen this, you have seen them. Of course, the word of God is coming and telling you, be encouraged. But you see, you need much more than being encouraged. There is something that, you know, even with this vision, there are many of our brethren, many, even myself, you hear this word and yet you have not heard it. Because you need to hear at two levels. The inward man must hear. The inward man must see. The inward man must decide. You must taste. You must handle. Yes. If it has not happened at the inward part, it has not happened. So that's why a man like Judas could be with Jesus for how many years? And at the end of the day, he will betray Jesus. Why? The information had not gone beyond the veil. It had not touched him. You know? And for me, I think that that is the import of the message we are hearing today. We need to go beyond presumption that I have attended this meeting this weekend, then automatically it means I'm going to change. It's more than that. Have you heard it? As you are in, have you heard it down in your soul? Has this thing, have you heard it? Have you seen it? Have you tasted it? Have I? You know, and because I know I have this self-destruct button, I'm walking very slowly. I say, God, you know I have the capacity to destroy myself. I say, God, have mercy upon me. You know, and I'm repeating the word in my ear. I say, God, I have to be a son of God. I have to change. I have to change my lifestyle. There's something. And I'm saying, God, I need to hear it at the depth of my soul. Let it not be at the outward. Because if the outward man hears and the inner man hasn't heard it, nobody has heard. Nothing has happened. Nothing has changed. The lifestyle is not going to change because you haven't seen it. Amen.
Amen.
So may we be like this servant of Elijah. Look at verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray. What do you do? Open his eyes. Like, was he a physically blind man?
No.
Huh? Was he physically blind?
No.
Why was he praying that he should open his eyes? Which eye was he praying that he should open? Which eye was he going to open? Then we need to, you know, that blind man, Bartimaeus, he began to shout. He began to make a noise. He began to disturb everybody. He said, keep quiet. In fact, the more they talked, the more he shouted. And he cast away his garment. What did he say? That I may receive my sight. Hallelujah. May that be our prayer. You know, we say, God, open our eyes, open our ears. Because when you see in the inward man, I'm telling you, there's no discussion. There will be a change.
Amen.
Amen. You know, it's always say, I know that I know that I know. And when I really know, the matter is saved. You know, they say, you do not argue with experience. Can you argue with a man? You don't argue with experience. You say, I was once blind. Now I see it. Whether this Jesus is a Messiah or is whatever, that's not my business. My business is that what? I was once blind. Now I see. That's okay for me.
Amen.
You don't argue with the experience. Because the man was blind, now he is seeing.
Amen.
And he doesn't care about the doctrine. He doesn't even need his doctrine. Whether he is the son of God or the son of Mary, how does it, what does it do? What does it change my experience? Amen.
Amen.
That we may receive our sight.
Amen.
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 And it will change and finish the whole matter. So, this is an example of a real life change in lifestyle. And it happened because there was an inward touch. There was a break over the covering, over you know, the mind. Now let's look at another scripture. 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings 22. Look at this. It says, and he walked in all the ways of Asa his father. Verse 43. Sorry. And he walked in, sorry, I'm jumping because of time. He walked in all the ways of Asa his father. He turned not aside from doing it. Doing that which was wrought right. Where? In the eyes of the Lord. Never did the high places were not taken away for the people. So, 1 Kings 22, 43. Here it's talking about the eyes of the Lord. Amen. You know, God sees, but God doesn't have these two round things that we have. You know, He sees. And God sees by perception. And when God created you, He created you with the ability to perceive. And that word perceive means to see by the senses. Amen. I'm not getting any response from you, are you? Amen. To see by the senses means to perceive. So can I suggest a change in your lifestyle? Determine that from today you will walk by your perception, not by your physical sight. Amen. That's one change that you can note. Walk by perception. That's the things you see in your spirit. You're asking God, when there's a matter, ask God to show you. Amen. You know? You say, God, open my eyes to see. Then the eye you are praying about is not the physical one, obviously. You know? Just like this servant of Elisha, you're saying, God, open my perception, my capacity to see by the senses. Amen. And when God begins to open our perception, one of the things that we'll begin to see, we'll become aware of spiritual activity.
Amen.
We'll become aware of spiritual activity around our environment. Amen. When you see things, last night my wife had a dream. I had a dream, but they were similar. Amen. You come into an environment and you begin to sense the spirits that are operating in the environment. My Oga, he always starts his work by 3 a.m. in the night because I tell him that he starts his office work by 3 a.m. because that's what he's working. Amen.
Hallelujah.
When do you walk? Amen.
Oh,
brethren, some of us are so dense, we can't see anything around us. May the Lord deliver us from this.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, that we are in a place and we are not aware of what is going on. Hallelujah. You know, the soul. The soul, the environment, the immediate environment of the soul are spirits. I don't know if you got that. The immediate environment of my body is Lekki and ShopRite. I just saw ShopRite at the beginning. Alright? Okay, so you see the soul there? The immediate environment is the spirit, the human spirit. Alright. Which is God conscious? Which is conscious of the spiritual environment. Amen. But that needs to change where I become spirit conscious. Amen.
Yeah.
And when I become spirit conscious, I begin to see. You know, it's called descending of spirits. It is a gift of the spirit, but it's also a lifestyle that we're able to discern spiritual things. You know, things happen to us and you are saying, God, what are you saying to me? You don't just take it for granted. Your car breaks down in the morning. You come and your car breaks down. So I call my mechanic. Maybe God wants to stop me from making the journey. You know? So that's part of a lifestyle. You know, we have this modern technology lifestyle. Something happens, we are only interpreting it in the natural. Alright? And if you interpret the natural, and the Bible says that even though we walk in the flesh, you know, even though we are in the way, what's that scripture?
In the flesh, we do not walk.
You know, even though we are in the flesh, we shouldn't walk
in the flesh.
In the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, what?
And
our karma. That's our what?
Mighty.
That's part of the change in our lifestyle. You know? So you can decide, I will not longer operate in the flesh. When you at least then I should have one more option of spirit. Amen. So
operate in the spiritual.
What?
You say operate in the spiritual.
It's the same. Is that the point? Like if your car breaks down in the morning, you wake up. That's your only challenge, not just to call your mechanic. you know, you should also be able to switch to the spirit and say, God, what are you saying? You pray about it, and you're asking, is there any adjustment in the spirit? You need to call the mechanic in the spirit. Amen. To come. Okay, not just a natural mechanic. Alright, so that's half of the change in the lifestyle that we can incorporate. We bring one more option, the spirit option, into our operation. Praise the Lord. Say amen now, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, so there are several options of that. So we're just looking at one aspect of it, you know, in terms of what we're seeing. The same thing with our hearing. You know, it's critical that we're able to hear the voice of God. You know, the baby in the womb begins to hear the voice of the mother. Begins to hear. So by the time the baby is out, he's already accustomed, you know, to the voice. The same thing that we can begin to train ourselves to hear at the spiritual level. You know, and then it comes by walking with God, you know, in the circumstances. You know, always have always have what I call small experiments. Okay, you want to do something, you are faced with a decision. Don't just let that opportunity slip away from you. You know, determine that you are going to take a decision based on what you think God is saying to you. All right, and walk through that experience. You might find that at the end of the day, you may have been right in that decision, or you may have been wrong, but you learn from it. Okay, if you are right, then it's okay. All right, I made that decision based on this set of circumstances. Then the next time you try it again. All right, and if it works out, as time goes on, you begin to be familiar with the way God speaks to you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
Question.
Yes.
My question is about Samuel. You know, when he went to the house of Jesse, Samuel knew where a king was supposed to be. So, let's say he was looking at it from his personal, he said he did not hear from God, with all his experience he has.
Mm-hmm. If he didn't hear, well, I'm not going there.
So, you didn't hear from God in the choice?
In the choice, okay. I'm wondering because the truth is, sometimes I could use my own experience, my own personal experience. I use my own personal experience of saying, oh, this thing happened like this. This is how a situation like this should be handled. For my own, I don't know.
No, I know where you're coming from, what you're coming from. It's good. But you see, he was a prophet of the Lord. So he made the right, of course, God, he heard God, so God said, you should go.
Yes.
Now, the experience I'm talking about is not the experience of, in the natural, in terms of history.
Okay.
It's like, okay, I know this is the way God speaks. But it's in the sense of being able to recognize God's voice, the way he speaks. Like, for instance, over time, I can recognize the voice, you know, because of the experience. Okay, like, I just gave this brother a word. It's possible that he may not be God, but I'm bold enough to say it, because based on what I believe God has been dealing with me. If I'm wrong, of course, I can always repent. So, as you exercise it, it's different from experience.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
So the experience was that he got there, and he didn't ask. You understand?
Yeah.
So it was like, it was that physical eye.
You
saw the man, it was tall. It was physical sight. He didn't ask the Lord which one is this,
yes,
and wait to get the word, you understand? And that what happens to us, so one step we are right, the second step we go in the flesh. You know, so it's so common to us that God looks on the inward man and gives us that capacity to hear. So changing the lifestyle means I begin, you know, like Brad, if you work with him, obviously, you don't have a choice, but you have to start hearing. Amen. Because he'll tell you, we are not sensitive enough. And it is true, sometimes we don't hear. You know, we are just dragging and dragging and, you know, so we need to switch on the hearing mode. You know, so always hearing, always listening. And the man that is closer to the chest, you know, John was close. And he says, in fact, they will say, please ask the master, is it I? he was closer, so he has freedom, and you go ask. So are we so far away that we can't have that intimacy? You know, so we can make a decision to begin to cultivate that experience of hearing from the Lord, and then cross-checking it and then see how it goes. Now, I'm going to go to the next stage of what I want to share. I was saying that the coverings over the mind are not casual. They're not a wave of the hand. If not, every one of us would have changed, would have been perfect by now. Because there are active spirits that are interested in ensuring that I remain where I am. Now, the first level of covering over the mind is that beginning from Adam, Genesis 3, there was a seed of darkness that was introduced. Someone would say there was a program that was installed in the depths of the mind. Alright? And those of you who work with computers, you know that, for instance, Norton virus. And people won't have Norton virus before. Norton antivirus. If it gets in your PC, it's forever. You can never delete it.
Antivirus.
Nothing. Oh, as I said, if you buy it and install it in your computer, it's gone. That's it. You can't get it out. Your husband knows better. You know, you try. The nothing is not going to go anywhere. That's how the seed of darkness is in the mind. It has been installed. It's beyond. I wish, or from now on, the darkness is going to go away, nowhere, because it is an active force that has been installed in the mind and is covering the mind. You know, and then in order to remove it, we'll look at the steps of removing it. We also have to take deliberate, determined steps to eliminate it. Amen.
Amen.
So don't ever think that the mind is going to change by it, because I attended the call. Of course, the fact that you have come, there are waters that have gone through, there are things that have happened, which have softened the mind, make it easier. But I must take an active lifestyle, deliberate steps for it to be removed. So that is the first level of the covering over the mind that we have to deal with. Now, the second level of covering that we have to deal with is that the Bible says that the beast, this is Revelation 17 now, the beast is carrying a woman. That beast speaks of the fallen nature of the mind. I hope you understand that when darkness enters the realms, remember, the mind, there are four living creatures in the realms of the mind, of the soul. And when darkness got in, the mind of man was dragged down, was pulled down, and fell. The mind of man used to walk in the heights of heaven, fell, and became an earthbound creature. Amen. So, and how do I know? There's a scripture in Isaiah 55. What does it say? Say, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Okay, go on. What does it say? As the heavens are higher than the earth. What does the next one say? So are my thoughts higher than your own thoughts. So you can see the difference. The thoughts of God are far in the heavens, and our own thoughts are other. So how do we go from the low to the heavenly thoughts? Amen. Amen. That's where the tabernacle comes in. The tabernacle are the seven steps that you climb to raise your thought level. Amen.
Amen.
You know, so as you know, in other words, the mind has to walk through the different steps of the tabernacle. Okay, this isn't
The mind has to walk through the seven steps of the tabernacle.
So, the tabernacle is not just something you know in your head, and then it ends up. You know, it's a walkthrough. So my mind must come to a place of judgment. I will encourage you not to forget that. The mind must come to the brazen altar. The senses must come to the brazen altar. The mind must be judged. There's a scripture somewhere in the Psalms. It says, there is a heart that gathereth iniquity. So he says, he uses that phrase. As another place where he says that the tongue walks through the earth. In other words, there is a mind that is earthbound, creeping, you know, just picking up all the dirt on the earth. But there's also another mind that can be walking in the heights of heaven.
Amen.
You understand? So how do I get my mind to no longer be earthbound but heavenbound? The way to do it is that first I must bring my mind to this altar. And it is brass. In other words, I must bring judgment to my thought system. You know, I must live a lifestyle of always judging my thoughts. Amen. There are thoughts that arise. You know, as the thoughts arise, you must judge it. Now, one of the ways to judge the thought is by the word. By the word of God, by the word. You know, James says, when you look at the perfect law of liberty, what happens? You see an image. And he was talking about it, you are not a forgetful hearer of what you have seen. So, when you come to the word, we don't come to the word as though it is letter. The word is living. The word is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions. Amen. So, if I come to the word and I'm arguing with it, then there's not going to be a change. But if I come to the word and I'm coming with a trepidation, that is, with a desire, with an already taken position that I'm going to respond to the word, that if God says it's final, then that word is going to judge my thoughts and intentions. And it will, he says, you are clean by the words that I have spoken to you. So if my thoughts are evil, what do? I come to the word and I begin to look at the word. By the time I spend 30 minutes, 1 hour in the Word, my thoughts become clean. Now, that can be a lifestyle. That can be a lifestyle that you imbibe of always turning. You know, if you read Psalm 119, it gives you a very good example of this lifestyle of always washing. Psalm 119. You know, it says, you know, there are so many examples. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. You know, the other one says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I am a companion of all them that fear the Lord. Depart from me, everyone that doesn't love God. By the time you forget, you say that the sinners entice me, but thy word will I not forget. I have made a rule with my eyes. Right? When you go from Psalm 119, verse 1, and you are hitting Psalm 1, verse 187, your mind is clear. Peace. Amen. Great peace of all them that love thy law. Amen. Now, brethren, we are speaking about a conscious decision that is made to judge my thoughts. It can be a lifestyle. And when you begin to get there, the Word of God, you know, begins to pull your mind up. Because it says, so is my word that goeth out from me, and it will not return to me void, but it will accomplish that for which I have sent it. So the word of God has a mission. It's coming to wash you. Not just wash you, it's coming to take you where? Bringing you to the to the Holy of Holies, as it was. Alright? So, the word is pulling, it's like an anchor, it's pulling, to bring, that's the mission, and it will not fail. You know? So, you must have a faith in the capacity of the word of God to change you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, he said that the word of God is what? Perfect. combating the soul. There must be that, So what I was getting to is that because the mind of man fell, you know, the Revelation 7:17 gives us a picture. He said there was a beast carrying a woman. Now that woman, if you look through, represents a spirit. In other words, that is a spirit that is taking advantage of the seed of darkness in my soul. You know, Ibrahim, you know, he alluded to it. The devil can see the darkness in you. He talked about the fires. He's just speaking about knowledge. There's an awareness the devil has of you. He knows your weak points. He can see the ancestral covenants line up. He can see the ancestral, you know, the weaknesses you have. Brother says the Nigerian Christians have to overcome the spirit of pride. It is an inborn, inbuilt spirit that is environmental. That is, it's an environment. Okay, you're born in Nigeria. It grows. It's there. All right, and you can overcome it by waving the hand, by one prayer meeting. It's beyond one prayer meeting. You only overcome it by a lifestyle of repentance. Or not a lifestyle of looking out for it, detecting it, and turning away from it. So that piece of energy, you know, that means that you are always looking into your heart, not looking in the heart of your brother, but you know it's the spirit you are carrying, all right, that is taking advantage of an opening in you. So those are all the things that come up with the beast carrying a woman. Now the beast, that beastly nature speaks about the falling nature of the mind, of the soul. It is carrying the woman, in other words, it's bringing worship. Carrying means submitting. Alright? So it's a nature that's submitting to another spirit. And so in other words, that spirit covers it. Now if a spirit is covering my mind, there's no way I'm going to see clearly. So it brings a blur, it brings a covering, it brings a dullness over my ability to see the visions of God, the purpose of God for me, the purpose of God for the church of, you know, people, for the people of God, to the purpose of God for his people and his operations and so on. That spirit begins to color it and to affect it. And it doesn't just stop there, it also affects the doctrines I'm going to preach, the kind of doctrines I will believe, the kind of friends I will have. So changing lifestyle is saying that I must also look deep, you know, and I see all the things that happen, you know, and of course one of the things I have to overcome is the Nigerian spirit, you know. If you go to Moscow, I run into Nigerians in Moscow. I go to, where else have I gone? Okay, they say my time is up.
No, okay. Gentle reminder.
My time is
up. No, it's not.
Yeah. Okay, don't worry. Okay. Anyway, what about the overcome the spirit? I'll just give an example. You know, so it is going to be presumption to think that these things are not there. Alright? You know? So it doesn't matter, Nigeria. You know, so if I'm thinking of overcoming, then I must be aware that there are these territorial spirits, national spirits, tribal spirits, and so on. So that's another level that's covering that I need to overcome. What's it? There's a second one, third one. Now, the second level of covering, the third level of covering, is that these two are working, the first two are working, the seed of darkness that is in my mind, and the spirit that is feeding off that seed of darkness. The darkness, all that thing is also affecting the nature of my mind on its own. That's my mind on its own is also falling. Now, when you say mind is falling, one of the things that it speaks of is that my mind loses this capacity to be sensitive. I don't know if I'm communicating. You know, the mind should be sensitive. The mind should be sensitive. You should know. Now, the Bible says that their heart is become dull of hearing. That is, there is an inbuilt nature in which my mind is no longer sharp. Rob Rivers gave a story. I always shared everywhere I went to. He said a young man was given a basket to go fetch water. All right? So he gets to the stream to fetch water. By the time he gets home, the basket is dry. He goes back again. And he came to his father and said, well, look, I have a problem. This basket never gets full. All right? And the man took the basket from him. Said, where is the one? Give it to him. Brought another one and he compared it. The one that has been fetching the water was very clean. The other one that was home was dirty. So what is it saying to you? That as you begin to let the word of God flow through, go through you, that it washes. And one of the things it cleanses is that it cleanses the unconscious part of your mind.
Amen.
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 You know, so this weekend, the fact that you have come this weekend, there is a cleansing that has gone through all the realms of your mind.
Amen.
All the realms of the emotions. Okay, now you may feel you have not changed, but I know that I have changed. I know a lot of things have been judged, a lot of things have been rearranged. And the Bible says that the path of the judge is like a light that shines. That becomes what? Brighter and brighter each day. Amen. And you can see that by the wick. You know, the wick is inside the oil, is it not? You know, the lampstand, you see the wick in the oil. The wick is surrounded by the oil. Now, whether the wick likes it or not, the nature of the wick begins to be affected because it begins to thaw out and the oil begins to get into the nature of it. Amen. So, there is a seed of Christ in your soul, whether you like it or not, that seed is expanding. That seed is there to possess the soul.
Amen.
To possess my mind.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that kingdom is working. It's whether you like it or not, it's growing. Every day it's growing. And as it begins to grow, it begins to affect the nature, the basic nature of my mind. In other words, my mind becomes sharper, clearer. I can hear clearly. I can see clearly.
Amen.
I can discern clearly. I can begin to separate things in my mind, you know, as regarding the will of God and the counsel of God. Praise God. Now, the fourth thing that covering over the mind that we need to deal with is that you also have to contend with the mind of others, the fallen mind of people around you.
Amen.
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 Those of us who go to work, you've just finished a meeting this weekend. You're going to go to work with people whose mind are falling more and more every day.
Gross darkness.
Amen. And gross darkness, the people. Their emotions are depressed. They are confused. Their emotions are crying out for energy. They can't get it. The only way they can get that energy is to get it from the earth. They can't go up to the heavens. So you will be with them, and of course, the spirit in them jumps on you. Amen. The spirit in them jumps on you. There's a man, a client that comes to your office and he's struggling and quarreling. Before long, he starts quarreling with you because the spirit jumps on you. And if you are not careful, you begin to react. A spirit of strife and contention comes into you. Now, you must have the capacity to realize that something has happened. And you should be quick enough to know that, look, that you are dealing with an environment. And your ability to overcome is that you're able to discern it and you bind the spirit. I didn't hear any amen.
Amen.
You bind the spirit, you rebuke it. The other day I said to myself, when I go to work, I must enter the toilet and pray. As a way of reminding myself, because I see that when I go to work, before 2 hours, I have forgotten I'm a Christian. I only remember when I enter my car, you know that I drive into my house, I say, yay. I'm telling you, this is my own personal experience. I enter the car to go to work, I'm no longer a Christian. I become a doctor, I'm a lecturer. I only remember when I come back again, I say, no, this must stop.
Amen.
Amen. That's it. I'm talking about lifestyle. It's all about mindset. So there must be something that I will do at work that will remind me I am a Christian. Amen. That brings my mind and keeps it. And Daniel did it three times. He go and pray. At midday, he goes and he prays. So he was always reminding that he was a Christian. I remember a brother, he was a professor. We all knew him. If you come to his office to meet him, you are talking with him, say, excuse me, can I see you? He enters the toilet. You know what he has gone to go? He goes into the toilet and starts praying in tongues. He starts praying. When he prays and prays, and he comes out and the atmosphere changes. He comes back and he's in control of the situation. You know? So we need to build in this kind of attitude within us that helps us to deal. Sometimes you are dealing with your wife or your husband, and a spirit, I'm sorry, I hope you're not annoyed, but a spirit comes in. The spirit may be you. Maybe you are carrying a spirit from home, from work. Maybe you're going for a meeting and you argue and quarrel there. That spirit follows you home. Amen. Your wife talks and you start shouting. Okay, I start shouting. I think that's better. Okay, exactly. And I start shouting. Yeah, because there was a problem. I'm carrying a spirit from work. I didn't discharge it at home. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes it even extends to the children.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
People are not actually me. What's the problem?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we have to be sensitive to deal with all that and get it done. Okay, that's number one. That's number four. Number five is what? Okay, it's a realm of darkness feeding off or on the fallen mind system. That's called Babylon, spiritual Babylon. There are a horde of spirits. They are depending on you to become carnal, to receive energy. Are you hearing me? Amen.
Feeding what?
I said the realm of darkness feeding off stroke on the fallen mind system. Yes, yes. So they need you to be carnal, so that they feed on you. There's a scripture in Psalms that said that the grave will feed upon you.
The grave?
Yeah, will feed upon you. Yeah, it's in Psalms. So the grave is a spirit. It comes to feed on you and on me. Amen. You know? And God expects us to be strong. Light. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness will not. Hey, pardon? Okay, yes. You know? So, we have to understand that there is a whole network. Now, I find something, let me tell you. When I read the Psalms, it says something like this. That the sorrows of hell have compassed me around. Have you read it before?
Yes.
It says he uses the word sorrows of hell and the sorrows of darkness. So, very good. So, darkness has emotion. If I come under the influence of darkness, my emotions will change and become sorrowful. Heaven also has emotion. When I come under the covering of heaven, what happens? I become joyful. Alright? So, if you watch yourself carefully, you will know when a spirit has come. And you just suddenly feel sad, feel down. You woke up in the morning and you are depressed. Nothing happened to you. Rebuke the spirit. I didn't hear any amen. Rebuke the spirit. We are too soft.
Amen.
We are too soft, brethren. You know? How many times did you speak in tongues last?
Mm.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
How many times did you walk through your house speaking in tongues? There's a film, War Room. How many people have seen it? There's a film called War Room. The girl ran through her house and drove all the devils away. She shouted and prayed and blasted, and before the devil was out running.
She opened the door.
I said, get out of her house.
Then she went outside.
She went outside and was speaking to the devil. The devil ran. Her house had changed. Her children changed. Her life changed. Everything changed. Things have not changed because we are English men. We are even more English than Englishmen. Brethren, we need some aggression.
Amen.
I didn't hear any amen.
Amen.
We need an aggression in the spirit.
Amen.
You know? So when you see the sorrows of hell have compassed you, all it means is that it is tying a cord around you. Eh? Hell is tying a cord around you, and you like the feeling, oh, you feel sorry, I'm so bad. Oh, nobody likes me. I'm poor, poor me. The more you are doing, oh, poor me, the more the devil is pushing you down and stamping on you. Amen. The sorrows of hell, may you not have over control over us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, so there's a whole network and system of darkness out there, in the emotions, in the desire, and so on. Amen. And sometimes I sit down, I want to listen to news, I get another spirit from listening to news.
Yes.
Are you hearing me? Amen.
Amen.
I have gone to listen to news and I carry a baggage. Yes. The spirit jumps out of the television and enters my heart.
Yes.
Amen. And I have to deal with it. You go to work, you go to ShopRite, but then you walk out, ShopRite has given you some spirits. Amen. You see those who are wearing shorts, they are inside ShopRite. You see crazy mad people, they are in ShopRite. If you don't do very well, the spirits are going to follow you home. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, they say time. I need to close. Alright. Okay, so let's go to number three. I've done five. The first one was Seed of Darkness. Two was the whore riding the beast. Third one was the beastly nature. The third is the beastly nature, that is reprobate. You know, the beastly nature is carnal, it's fallen.
No.
The beast is riding the whore is the woman is riding the beast. You understand? So there is a beastly nature, the fallen, depraved nature of sin. Okay, he's going down. Like he said, he showed us that picture. The man will ride down in the pit. That's the fallen nature, you know. The reprobate nature, which is becoming more and more evil. And then the spirit that is riding that. Then number four, we talked about the fallen mind of other souls, other people. And then the network. Now the realm of darkness. All the fallen spirits, all the fallen angels. I didn't have time to go into familiar spirits. This spirit of your forefathers, they don't have body. The body they have is your own. Okay, my own. So they seek to come back to this body. They look for a body so that they can have some entertainment. Don't you understand? And get some energy. All right. And the only one that coming to is you, because they know you. That's why I call familiar spirit. If we open up their in, amen. And we have to be able to deal with that. All right. So I'm going to the second level now. The redemption. How do we receive a change? There are three things. I've already mentioned one, but let's look at it. There are three things that bring a change in things we've spoken about. The first one is blood. The first foundation is blood. When you read in Old Testament, it says when you bring an offering, the offering to make atonement, the Bible says in Leviticus 17:11, it says it is the blood that does what? That makes atonement for the soul. If you want to change the soul, there must be blood. Now, that is the difference between Greek mind, Roman mind, and what I call Holy Ghost mind. Alright? Now, when you talk about mind, most people, they think of philosophy, knowledge, intellect. We're not going there at all. Paul says that man's wisdom is foolishness. Amen.
Amen.
So we're not talking about in medicine, the teachers, psychology, psychiatry, you know, the lawyers, they teach them the same thing, although we know more than them. Oh, sorry, what did I say? Did I say, okay, so there is the mind, the intellect, knowledge, all that thing that you see there, it is all mind. It's not going to bring knowledge. The astral travel, transcendental meditation, yoga, what is it? All the Eastern religions, all those ones, inspiration, the meditation, this one, breathe in, breathe out, spiritism, all of them, you put them in one box, foolishness. It's not going to save anybody.
Amen.
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 So we're not speaking about man's wisdom that comes to nothing. Alright? It's foolishness. But we'll speak about
spiritual wisdom, hidden wisdom of God. He said, Christ is made unto us all wisdom and knowledge. And the foundation of the wisdom of God is what? The blood. Amen. Because he has given blood to make atonement for the soul. So he says, you must take blood and put it upon the horn. You apply it at the four horns. That's the first thing you do. So to be born again, to redeem your mind, is the blood. Now you must make a practice of always pleading the blood on your mind. Amen.
Amen.
It must be a habit. You must learn it. It's critical. You know, Brassens will always tell us the story of how the Spirit came into his room. He was pressing him, pressing him, pressing him until he began to saw the cross. He saw the blood fall. And immediately the blood came. It broke through. Try it. Practice it. Make it a habit. So, if your body is the temple, and he says that the temple was sanctified by the blood, practice sanctifying your body, your mind, by the blood. Amen.
Amen.
The blood can never be exhausted, because it's the spirit of life. Amen. So, practice the walking under that blood. You know, cleansing yourself by the blood. Whatever thought that comes, bring blood into it. Come against the thoughts. You have an image that is disturbing you, you can't get it off. Wage war against it by the blood.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When you see a picture, you don't like, bring blood.
Yes.
Blood is your weapon. Amen. Yes. And you have to practice, you must believe in it.
Amen.
And you must test it.
Amen.
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 And the more you are blood man, the more the devil will run from you.
Amen.
Remember, he said, when I see the blood, I'll do what?
I'll
whether they are shooting guns, whether they are kidnapping,
yes.
All those are stories you are hearing. Your friend, they have kidnapped him, your brother, so and so. It's all in the mind. You can use the blood and shield your mind.
Amen.
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 So you are walking under that blood, and the devil cannot touch you. It's a bloodline. You know, it's something that goes. So it's critical. Now, the next thing you put on blood is the oil. Alright, so you bring the blood. And then on top of the blood, you put oil. The oil represents the anointing of the Spirit.
Amen.
Alright? The Spirit cannot walk if the blood is not there.
Mm.
So you must be saved. You must have a blood covenant. Then the Spirit walks on the basis of that. So the redemption of my mind is by the blood and by the operation of the Spirit of God. Amen.
Amen.
There are many scriptures that we can give you for that. Job 3:32 verse 8 says, there is a spirit in man, and what have and the inspiration of God giveth it understanding. Amen.
Amen.
We can have understanding by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. John chapter 12 to John 16. Okay, those four chapters are fantastic. Okay, it says that the Spirit of God, when He comes, will teach you, will lead you, will instruct you. He will take the things of God and show it to you. It's a spiritual revelation. In other words, the Spirit of God begins to instruct your mind. Remember, the mind doesn't know about God. So the Spirit of God begins to teach you and instruct you. Many of us are not learning, are not walking by the Spirit, and we're not being taught by the Spirit. He said you have an anointing in you, is it not?
Yeah.
That does what? Teach you all things. Amen.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with our open face, beholding the glory of the Lord. What happens? We are changed. From what? From glory to glory. I don't see how somebody wants to change in one day. It's not going to happen. Amen. He says he will not drive all the wild animals in one day. You do that little by little. There a little. There a little. Line upon line. We're not patient to walk with God, but end up walk with God, and that we should be patient, you know, to walk with God, to go through the change that is coming. There's another good one that is in Proverbs 20:27. It says there is the spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, giving light to the inward part of the Lord. There's a spirit in man. That spirit in man is the soul. All right. And it is lightened by the inspiration, by the quickening, by the operation of God. You know, so when we come under the atmosphere of the Spirit of God, again, it is a lifestyle. You have to cultivate that atmosphere. There are different ways of doing it. You can be, you know, not the contemporary music, but real anointed worship. As you begin to play those, your mind begins to turn to the Lord, begins to open up, and the Spirit of God starts flowing. That's one way. For me, I have my own way of getting the Spirit. It is, I have tested it, it's right. I go to the Scriptures. No matter how far my mind is, I dig in there. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes, I'm out of any hole the devil has thrown me inside. You must try it. You must have your way of walking out of the danger. Amen. Amen. You must have a way which is critical. Of David had it. See, my feet had almost slipped to hell. However, I remember the goodness of the Lord. And if we go from verse 1 of the Psalm, when he hits verse 20, he's already in heaven. Mm. Amen. He's a man that has walked with God. You know, so we have to, that's part of the change in the lifestyle that we have to cultivate of turning and opening the door so that the Spirit will walk. Now, the third thing is the Word. So remember, the first is the blood. Second is the Spirit. I call it the Spirit of adoption. That's coming to adopt your soul and make it the third heaven. Don't you understand? And make you a part of Christ. All right. Then the last one is the water. Psalm 19:7 says that the word of the Lord is what? Perfect. Converting the soul. Amen.
Is this your word or what?
The word. Well, the word is the washing of the water. Okay. So you can also see that in Ephesians chapter 5. It talks about the washing of the water by the word. John 15 says, you are clean by the words that I have spoken unto you. Come to the water. Always come to the water. And you can see in the tabernacle, you see the water. Before the priest goes inside, he washes. And what does he wash? He washes his hands, he washes his feet. Many times we are not priestly. We have not cultivated the habit of washing our feet, our walk, you know, our interaction with people, our tongues, our hands. At the end of the day, you must wash and get clean. You know, when I went to Brother Boss' house, I noticed that before he goes to bed, he goes to have a bath. And I said, God, why? Of course, I went to God. I said, why is this brother? I'm sure he hasn't heard this before. I said, why is this brother having his bath in the night? I'm used to having a wash in the morning. But here he washes in the night. God says, because he used to be a farmer, he gets dirty, he comes home, and he wants to sleep clean. Clean clothes, you know, smell fresh. He knows that word. But it's not what happens to us. You go out in the morning, you go to work, you run with wicked men. You hear thoughts, you read, you know, data, all kinds of nonsense. When you come home, you must wash. Smell good. There's some frankincense, some anointing coming to your soul. Amen. And you present yourself to God that you feel clean. Amen. It's a habit. We have to learn it.
Amen.
Always clean. Amen. Hallelujah. No, amen.
Amen.
I know where I'm almost ending. Okay, what's remaining? Jeremiah 4, we saw that yesterday. It's a sharp knife to circumcise the soul. Never let anybody deceive you. The word you hear is critical. Amen.
Amen.
There are people who have sharp knives. There are ministries that have sharp knives.
Amen.
They have been sharpened. Amen. There are also ministries that are dull. There's a brother, his name is Ike. He preached to us in December or early January. He said there are people, ministries that have lost the axe head. The axe head that's falling into the water and is lost. The only thing they have now is stick. They are beating the people of God. They are beating the people of God. The sharpness has been lost. May you not receive that ministry.
Amen.
Amen. Me, I will not receive it.
Amen.
That runs.
I want the sharp knife.
Amen.
Amen. The sharp knife is able to pierce to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit. And it's able to discern my thoughts. Amen. You see, the man was preaching about me because the ministry is sharp. He's able to discern your thought and blast it away, you know, minister to it. Amen. So it's critical the ministry sit under. And those ministries, it is my responsibility to find those ministries and go to where they are. Amen. Even if the man, I don't like his face, I'm going to be on the front row. Don't you understand? I will be on the front row.
Oh, Jesus.
If he has a sharp knife, he must become my friend. Because I want my soul circumcised.
Amen.
You need sharp knife to cut away. All these coverings I've told you, they are foreskin, that the thing is covering the soul. Don't you understand? Those things must be cut away so that the soul is free and can, you know, receive fresh ministry from God. Amen.
Amen.
Now, final. I'm now on step 3.
Is that Jeremiah? What?
Jeremiah 4:3-4, I think. 4:3-4.
Yes.
All right. Okay, so now we are in number 3. The first one we were talking about was saying the coverings over the mind.
Wow.
The second thing we talked about was the redemption of the mind. That is the blood, the spirit, and the water. Alright? And now the third one, the reason for all this experience is that the soul must be beheaded. This is critical. My soul must be beheaded for a new head to be joined to it. Amen. Who is the new head?
Christ
is the head. My soul must be headless for Christ to take over. Now, in other words, so it presupposes that there is a head there that has to be cut off. And what is the head?
Sin. It's called sin and death.
There is a law of sin and death. It is installed right inside. Alright? And God says, I will put my law where? In the inward part. There's a new law that must be written in the inward part. And brethren, that law is written in the holy place. It's a place of perception. Alright? God must bring you to the holy place and begin to write a new law. It's called Mount Zion. And on Mount Sinai, God wrote a law, physical law. You and I must come up to the Mount of God, and God must write with a finger upon my soul. And when God writes it, no God, no spirit can move it. It is a new law. Say, I will put a new law with him. Now, when God installs this law, it means that God consciousness comes into my mind. And if God consciousness, if Emmanuel comes, he's a God with us. See, the fullness of the God they're dwelling bodily. He was talking about earthquake. I prophesied to you that earthquake is coming. The earthquake we are going to get is that the energy of God comes into my mind. It's so strong.
Amen.
If you come around me, the power of God will smite you.
Amen.
Don't you understand? Say, Peter was walking, and the shadow of Peter was healing men. They were, I don't know if you understand. Peter was walking around, but his shadow was healing people. Amen. Jesus, they were running at him, they were touching him. It was the outflow of the energy in his mind, in his soul. You see, Stephen was such the wisdom of him, they couldn't argue with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brethren, we are in for a change.
Amen.
I'm in for a change. I'm excited.
Amen.
You know, and we bless God for this opportunity.
Amen.
And I believe, I just heard that we are going to have this opportunity again.
Amen.
And I've reported it. Let us watch and see if it will come to be. I have confidence that we are not going to remain the same.
Amen.
You say
amen.
You want to remain the same? I will never be the same again.
Amen.
I have confidence that we will not remain the same. Okay, he doesn't believe. He said, well, let us see. He said, 1 week from now, we will see. Amen. Well, I will not remain the same again.
I will not remain the same.
Amen. There
there's a new change coming. And thank God for the time I've had. And we bless the Lady Brethren for making this, making it possible.